Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before Thy presence right now. We thank You, Lord, once again for Your love, Your grace, and Your mercy. Lord, we thank You, dear Lord, that we have a place that we can come. Dear Lord, that we can gather together, that we can lift up Your holy name. Lord, that we can open up Your holy word and read it, Lord, and allow You to speak to us and to our hearts, dear Lord. We pray tonight that You bless the reading of Your word, that You take it and use it. Dear Lord, that we might be better servants for Thee. We pray, dear Lord, everything said and done, bring honor and glory to Thy name. Dear Lord, we pray that You go with us. We pray You forgive us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. As we look here in 2 Corinthians in chapter number 6 and verse 17, we're dealing with a subject that not many people like to hear about today, and how the Bible tells us that we're to come out from among them and be ye separate, thus saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. We live in a day and hour when people don't think that you ought to tell them what is right and what is wrong, but God tells us many things that is right and that is wrong. People don't want to hear that they cannot do this and they cannot do that, but God throughout His Bible gave us things that we should not do. We have 10 of them right there, the 10 commandments, and 10 of them are, thou shalt not. And God says, when He said thou shalt not, God means thou shalt not. And we see here that God tells us that we're to come out from among them and be ye separate. Over in 2 Timothy in chapter 2, verse number 19, it says it, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His, and that everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You see, God knows each and every one that's His. You see, if you're His and your name has been recorded there in that Lamb's Book of Life, if you're His, you've been washed by the blood of the Lamb, if you're His, you're sealed until the day of redemption with that Holy Spirit of promise. If you're one of His, then God knows who you are. And if you are one of His, if you name the name of Christ, if you say, I'm a child of the King, then the Bible said here that we should let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You see, the Bible said that we are not to be Christians and live a life of sin. The Bible said that we are not to be saved by the grace of God and live out in the world and of the world and partake of the thing of the world. He said, everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And I just believe God means everyone. When He said everyone, I believe He meant everyone. There's no exceptions in the Word of God. People today think, well, the God, He'll excuse me if I want to sin, if I don't want to follow the Word of God, if I don't want to do what the Word of God said, then God will excuse me because He's a loving God, because He is God. Then God will excuse me. Well, the Bible said, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity or sin, according to the Word of God. In verse 21 there, it says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the Master's use, and prepared unto every good work. If a man does what? If he purge himself from these things, from these iniquities, from these sins in our life. He said there, that we'll be those vessels unto honor. He said that we'd be sanctified. We would be set apart. We wouldn't be like the world. We wouldn't look like the world. We wouldn't act like the world. We wouldn't talk like the world. We'd be sanctified. We'd be set apart. He said we'd be meet, or we'd be fit for the Master's use. You see, if we harbor iniquity in our heart, if we harbor sin in our life, then we're not fit for the service of the Lord. He can't use us. He won't use us, amen, until we get it right with Him, until we confess our iniquities. I'm glad to know that we love, that we serve a loving God, and He loves us, and He died for all of our sin. Each and every one of us, He loved us, He died for the sins of the enemy. the Word of God said, wherefore, come out from among them. Not rub elbows with them, not be mingled among them, not do as they do. The Bible said, wherefore, come out from among them. Psalm 1 and verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Did you hear that? Blessed is the man, or happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, not do what the ungodly do, nor standeth in the way of sinners, not do the thing that the sinner does. There, he said that we are happy if we refrain from them things, if we are called out from them, or if we come out from them things. The Bible said that we are happy. So the Bible said we would be happy if we come out from among these things, if we don't go in the way of sinners, and we don't stand in the way of the ungodly or the counsel of the godly there. He said that we're happy if we come out from among them things. So my guess is, or my interpretation of the Word of God is, that if we're saved by the good grace of God and we continue in the counsel of the ungodly, if we go in the way of sinner, I believe that we will be unhappy. Amen. I don't believe that we can be happy at being born again child of God and walk in the way of sinner. I believe that God will convict us of that sin. Amen. That we live in a day in a world that people think they do whatever they want to do. They can sin all they want to sin, and they can call themselves a child of God. According to the Bible, that just doesn't add up. It just doesn't make sense. According to the teachings of the Word of God, it says in Proverbs 4 and verse 14, enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. The Bible tells us not to go down that path of the sinners, not to go down that evil or that wicked path. You know what the Bible says over there in Psalm? He said that He lead us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. So what path should we be going down? We need to be going down His path. We need to be going down the path that He leads us down, amen? Instead of going down the path of the wicked, instead of going down the path of the unrighteous and the ungodly. He said there, enter not into those paths. According to the Word of God, we need to be come out from among them. The Bible says, if you were of the world, in John 15:19, it says, if you were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. You see, God said there in John that He has chosen us out of the world. I mean the ways of the world and the paths of the wicked and the unrighteous sinner there. He has called us out of that. But today we live in a world that people want to say, well, I want to get saved. I want to be a member of the church, but I still want to go down the path of the scornful. I still want to continue in that path of sin. I don't want to come out from the world. But God said, I have chosen you out of the world. You know, people today think, well, preacher, you're mean. And I've been called mean. I've been called many things in recent days. And that's all right. I don't care. As long as it's according to the Word of God. You see, I no doubt, when Moses, when he come down off of that mountain, and when they had made them golden calves there, and when he seen all of that, and he went on there a little further, and he stood up and he said, who is on the Lord's side? Moses said, you're going to have to make a decision. Are you on God's side, or are you on the side of the world? Or are you on the side of these evil men that have done this? He said, you have to choose. He said, whose side are you on? And the Levites, they said that they were on God's side. And you know what Moses told them to do? He told them to take the swords. He said, go into each gate today that people say, "Oh, Moses, you're mean." That doesn't show the love of God when you tell these Levites to take those swords out there and go out and destroy these men. I think about Elijah, the prophet of God, as he came down there, and you know the story, as they set up the sacrifice and the altar there, and the 450 prophets, a false prophet, the prophets of Baal, now they set up the sacrifice there, and they cut it and laid it in order there, and they prayed all of that day for their God, for Baal to send down fire. Then Elijah came out, and he soaked it down with water there three times. Then he called upon the name of the Lord, and the Bible said that God sent down fire from heaven and lapped up that sacrifice, licked up the dust that was around that there. God sent down that fire. And Elijah said, "Now, when we do this, that whoever God answers by fire says that He is the God." And when the Lord Almighty, the God of heaven, answered Elijah there, the man of God, as he sent down fire, you know what Elijah did? He said, "Okay, now God is God. You know that I'm His servant. You know that I'm His man." He said, "Now," he said, "you take those 450 prophets of Baal there, and then you take them out there into that brook out there, and you take their life and you kill them." I dare say that those people ran up and said, "Oh, Elijah, that's not very nice. That's not showing the love of God there in him." No, but it was showing the power of God, and it was showing that God demands that we come out from among them, that we can't be like the world, we can't be of the world. Amen. I think about Jesus as he come down there, when he entered into Jerusalem there, and he entered into the temple there, and they were buying and selling in the temple. What did the Bible say that Jesus did? He didn't come down and say, "You shouldn't do that. I love you. That's wrong. You shouldn't do that." The Bible said that He made cords, He made whips, and He drove them out of the temple. And I dare say people say, "Well, that's not nice. That didn't show the love of God. That showed that God required a difference between the holy and the unholy. He showed that there was a separate place, that the temple was not a place to do some things in there." Amen. And Jesus Himself drove those out of the temple, and He turned over the money changers there, tables there, and people were probably saying, "Now, Jesus, you know that they were just trying to help the economy in doing that. They were just trying to make it convenient for all these people that were coming in to make sacrifice. They were just trying to help them out a little bit. They were just trying to get the economy picked up a little bit." Instead, Jesus drove them out of the temple. Amen. He said, "Come out from among them. Be ye separate." He said, "I've chosen you out of the world." He said, "Come out from among them and be ye separate." What did your Bible say? Read in your Bible what it said. Be ye separate what? Saith the Lord. You see, people think oftentimes preachers get up here and preachers decide what it is they want to preach, and they get up here and they make these decisions. That, well, this is not what I said. The Bible said that, "Come out from among them and be ye separate. Thus saith the Lord." Not Brother Patrick, amen. You got a problem with it? Take it up with Him, amen. I did what the Bible said. Glory to God. I'm glad to know that I don't have to get up there and preach my opinion. If I did, I'd be wrong, amen. But thus saith the Lord. He said, "Be ye separate." What's separate? Well, that's different, is it not? You got to be separate. And it tells us in Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 10, "And that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean." You see, back in the Old Testament, those people, they had to put difference between the holy and the unholy. They had to put difference between the clean and the unclean. You see, God is still the same. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You see, the Word of God hasn't changed. I know we don't have the sacrifices that they had back in the old days, in the Old Testament times of worship back when they killed the lambs and the oxen and things like that. I know we don't have that, but God still requires us to put a difference between the holy and the unholy. You know, there are some things that are holy, the things that pertain unto God, the characters of God, the characteristics of God is holy, amen. But there are some things that are unholy, the things of the world and the ideologies of the world, things are unholy, amen. And we're to put a difference between God and the world. We're to put a difference between the holy and the unholy. We're to put a difference between the clean and the unclean. But we live in the day that people don't think they have to put a difference between that. We live in the day that people think they can intermingle everything, anything, and everything. Back in the Old Testament, when they brought a sacrifice, it had to be a sacrifice that was accepted by God. It had to be a sacrifice that was without spot and without blemish. It had to be a holy sacrifice. It had to be what God said it should be. They had to put a difference. But we live in a day that people don't think they had to put a difference between holy and unholy, between clean and unclean. Look what it said back up there in verses number 14 there in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. He said, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." And he tells us that we to put a difference. That's what he was saying, between the holy and the unholy. And again, back in the Old Testament there, they had the clean animals, they had the unclean animals. Oftentimes the oxen were considered to be clean. A donkey or something like that was considered to be unclean. And he's saying you don't put an oxen and a donkey together to plow the field. Amen. Why? Because they just don't equal up. They just don't match up. They wouldn't pull together. You wouldn't get anything accomplished. Amen. And he tells us here that we are not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And we can apply many applications of this. In marriage, there's many times this is the place that we go where a saved person should not marry someone that's not saved. We should not be unequally yoked together in our business affairs of the world. Saved people should not be in business with folks that are unsaved, because it will cause them sometime to might have to compromise their belief. But I believe that we can also apply this into our churches today here, and we need not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers and the world. And you know, it says there, "For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" You know, there's many people today. You know, Jesus told us over there, I think it is in Matthew, and I may be wrong in that, but over in the New Testament there in one of the Gospels, you know what Jesus told us to do? He told us to take His yoke upon us. He said, "For it was light." Told us about all of us that are heavy laden, burdened and heavy laden, coming to Him and take His yoke upon us. But too often, instead of us yoking up with Jesus, you know what many people are doing? They're yoking up with the world today. They're going in the ways of the world. They're yoking up. They're pulling with the world and the things of the world, instead of yoking up with Jesus, instead of yoking up with the church and following after the church and working with the church. Oftentimes they're yoked up with the world and they're working against the church. Amen. He said, "Be not unequally yoked with that." He said, "What does unrighteousness have with righteousness? What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" They don't have any fellowship there. And it said, "And what concord hath Christ with Belial," or Satan there? And he said, "What harmony has Christ and Satan there?" And there's not any harmony there. Satan is evil. He's a liar and the father of it. He came to destroy, to kill, to destroy. And Jesus came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. There's no harmony there between Christ and the devil. The harmony there. There's no concord there between Jesus and the devil. It says, "Oh, what part hath he that believeth with an infidel or an unbeliever? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people."
Amen.
Praise be to the name of the Lord. You see, God requires us to come out from among them and be ye separate. There's no agreement there. There's no harmony there. And we're to come out from among them, not from among the world. The Bible said, "From among them, thus saith the Lord." You know, the Bible said, 1 Corinthians 10:21 said, "You cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils." The Bible said, "Ye cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of the devil. And ye cannot be partakers at the Lord's table," or the table of the Lord, "and the table of devils." He said, "You must come out. Come out from among them and be ye separate,"
amen,
saith the Lord. You know, over in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, he said, "I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." You see, he still expects us to put difference between holy and unholy. He expects us to offer him a sacrifice. He wants our bodies, he wants our lives as a sacrifice unto him. But he requires our body to be that living sacrifice. But he requires it to be holy and acceptable unto him. You see, God will not accept anything and everything. He has standards. He has set his standards. And we can't lower the standards,
amen,
of the Almighty God. He tells us there. And he tells us there in verse 2, said, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God."
Amen.
We're to come out from among them. Be not conformed to the world. Be transformed by the renewing of our mind. How are we going to be transformed by the renewing of our mind? The Bible tells us that the God of this world has our minds blinded to the things of God. So the only way that we're going to have our minds renewed is from the Word of God. Amen. And that we're going to prove what is that good and that acceptable and perfect will of God. How do you know the will of God? From the Word of God. You don't know the will of God but what you think, but what you believe, what's in your heart. The Bible says our heart is desperately wicked above all things. So you can't trust your heart. You can't trust what you believe, but you can trust the Word of God. Amen. We're to come out from among them. And he said there, "And touch not the unclean thing." Isaiah 52 and verse 11. "Depart ye, depart ye. Go ye out from thence. Touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord." You see, there's some things that we are just to leave alone. There's some things that we need not have anything to do. And yes, alcohol is one of those unclean things that we need not have anything to do with. It distorts people's thinking. It destroys people's lives. Amen. It kills people. And it destroys children's lives. Amen.
Amen.
That's not popular today. People don't want to hear that today. But he said, depart ye. Touch not the unclean thing. What I want to know, I want people to show me where's the will of God that Trigg County have alcohol. Somebody show me that that's the will of God from the Word of God. I change my mind.
Amen.
But God will have to do it.
Right.
Touch not the unclean thing, the Bible says. You know, you have to make that choice just as Moses did. He said that he wouldn't be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Said choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. The problem that we live in, people don't want to choose God. They don't want to choose to be with the people of God. Even though that's not going to be popular, even though you're going to be talked about if you stand on the Word of God, if you take a stand for Him, people are going to talk about you. They're going to run you down. Well, Moses said he'd rather suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy pleasures for a season. There's a lot of folks out there that are going to enjoy their pleasure before a season. But let me tell you, the season is going to end one of these days. The Bible said that all that it is appointed unto men, all must die. And after this, the judgment, amen. It's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. You see, the season is going to come to an end. This life that we live, this breath that we're breathing right now, one of these days is going to come to an end. Amen. The Bible says there in the book of James that life is like a vapor. We're here, and then we're gone. It's just like a season. Amen. And there's many people that are enjoying those pleasures of sin. But according to the Word of God, it's going to be just for a small time. For a small season. We need to yoke up with the Lord.
Amen.
We need to yoke up with the church, amen. The church is the bride of Christ. The church is the body of the living Jesus Christ. We are the body of Christ. We need to yoke up with the church. We need to yoke up with Jesus, amen. Instead of with the world. We need to touch not the unclean thing. Turn over to the book of Ephesians to chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse number 1 said, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. You see, we need to follow God. We don't need to follow ourselves. The Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is death. You see, we need to follow God. We need to be followers of God. Amen. And he goes on saying, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Verse number 3 said, but fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not be named, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. I don't have to tell you what fornication is. No doubt you know what that is. That is any type of sexual sin. I said that, and that we're not to let that or any uncleanliness or covetousness be once named among you as become a saint. Then he said, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor gesturing, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Then he said, for this ye know, that no whoremonger, no unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Listen to this. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. You see, there's people out there that think they can sin and get away with it. There's people out there children of disobedience according to the Word of God. And it says, be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. He tells in His Word that we're not to be partakers of their sin. We were once like that. We once walked in the life of sin, but He has called us out of that life. He has called us out of that world. We're not to be partakers of that. We're to walk as children of the light. We're to walk as children of God. We're to put a difference between holy and unholy. Amen. It says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Listen to verse number 11. If you hadn't heard anything else, listen to verse number 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You mean we're not supposed to just overlook it because we'll look mean? The Bible said, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Of sin. Have no fellowship with sin. But rather, reprove them. Let's go on. He tells us to come out from among them. Be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. Then He said, I will receive you. I want to be received of the Lord. But I believe to do that, to be received of the Lord, then we have to do what the Lord tells us to do.
Amen.
According to the Word of God. And He tells us to come out from among them, from among the world. Be separate and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you. I just wonder today how much that we do that we call service of the Lord and service for the Lord. I wonder how much the Lord is receiving. You mean, preacher, God's not going to receive everything that I do in His name? Well, according to the Word of God, He won't. He said there are going to be many in that day that are going to cry, Lord, Lord, and not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. You see, we have to be received of Him, by Him. You see, all those offerings that were offered back in the Old Testament, as we're going through the study of the tabernacle on Wednesday nights, the last couple of Wednesday nights we hadn't, but we've been studying the tabernacle and all those sacrifices that were brought there to the brazen altar had to be sacrifices that were acceptable unto God. They had to be sacrifices without spot, without blemish. You see, God requires the same of us before He's going to receive us. You know, children of Israel, I was going to turn to 2 Kings, and I'm not going to turn there. But over in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 17, talks about Israel and Judah and how they had rebelled against God and how they had worshipped their idols. But how God rejected them and how God cast them out of the land that He had for them of the promised land. And how they went into captivity because they didn't put a difference between the holy and the unholy. Because they went ahead and done the things that they wanted to do. They went ahead and done what was right in their own eyes. And God said, I'm not going to accept it. I'm not accepting it. If you'll come and repent, if you'll turn back to me, then I'll receive you. But if you continue to go in the path of sin, I'll not accept it. I reject you. And He did, because they didn't turn back to the Lord. And He's still the same today. He requires us to come to Him. He requires us to confess our sins before Him. And you've heard much to do about what's going on in this church. There ain't no need hiding it. All that's going on, all to see it. All God wants people to do is come and confess their sin. And that's all it would take. That's all it would be. I'm sorry. I've wronged God. I've wronged the church. I've went against the Bible. I'm sorry. Forgive me. That's all it would be.
Amen.
But you see, there's so much pride in people. They're going to do what they want to do. And they're not going to come to God and ask Him for forgiveness. But they want to make us look like that we're mean. That we're bad people. Oh, God would never do anything like that. Oh, you ought to show the love of God. How much more could we show that go and extend Him an invitation to come? To be a part. According to the Bible, they already had a fellowship. What more love can we do than go and share with Him? We want you to come back. We're here that you might come back.
Amen.
You know what most of them said? Take my name off. Why? Because they're not worried about the things of God. They're not worried about putting difference between holy and unholy. All they're worried about is that pleasure for a season that they think they're going to enjoy. It tells us that we come out and He will receive us. It tells us in 1 John chapter 2, verse number 15, and you know these verses. It says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." You see, we got too many people that love the things of the world and the ways of the world. They don't love God. You know what He told us to do? He told us to love Him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our might. That we're to love Him. But you see, people want just a little bit of God. They want a little bit of religion. They think that's going to get them to heaven. Religion will not get you to heaven. Your name on a church roll will not get you to heaven. But the love of God will. It says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." You see, a lot of this stuff is unclean things. It's not holy things, it's things of the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. What people do? "Well, this is what I want. This is what the flesh desires. I think it's all right. I think it tastes good. So I'm going to do it. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I'm going to do it. I want to do it." The lust of the flesh. The lust of the eye. There's many of them seeing dollar signs up there. Boy, it's going to help the economy. Well, we're going to get a lot of tax revenue because of this ungodliness, unholiness, unclean thing. He said, "All that's going to pass away one of these days."
Amen.
And the pride of life. "I'm not going to do that. I'm not. I won't turn. I ain't going to. You're not make me." Not anybody going to make anybody do anything. You got a right to do whatever you want to do. But you're going to give an account to God one of these days for your actions and what you do. The decisions that you make. Look what it says in verse number 17. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Who is God going to receive? Those that do his will. He said, shall abide forever. Folks, all I want is for the will of God to be done. My heart's desire is for the will of God to be done. Again, if somebody can show me where this is the will of God, I know people can take scriptures and twist it around, make it say anything that they want to say, but they need to take the Bibles and the teachings of the Bible and not twist it and pervert it around. Believe. You know the Bible says that God cannot be tempted with evil, and he tempteth not any man with evil. God's not going to tempt you with alcohol. God's not going to tempt you with drugs, fornication. God doesn't want you to sin.
Amen.
The devil will tempt you with these things. The devil will try to get you to sin. The devil will try to get you out of the will of God. According to the Bible, God tempteth no man with evil. And it's a proven fact. I'm not that smart, and I didn't look up all the statistics, but you can go to some of these folks and Trig Citizens Against Alcohol, and they've looked up the statistics and they've looked up the facts on what alcohol does and what it brings with it and the destruction that comes along with that. Again, the Bible says that the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So why don't we yoke up with Jesus? Why don't we get in the will of God and see what God wants to do and see what breath and hell bestow upon us? Find the will of God. You know, many are worried about their names on this church roll. Many are worried about their names being removed from Blue Spring Church roll. Let me tell you, you need to be more worried about your name being on that Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
It tells us in Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 27, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. Listen, only thing that's going to enter into heaven, only thing that's going to enter into the kingdom of God is this right here. It said, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You see, so people need to be worried more about their name being written in the Lamb's Book of Life than their name being removed off of a church roll. I'd hate for my name to be removed off of a church roll because of ungodliness, because of sin, because I was too stubborn to come and repent of my sin. But my concern would more be, is my name written in that Lamb's Book of Life? Can I live in the world and the ways of the world? Wherefore come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And don't go out and say that preacher's up there preaching that I can be saved and I can be lost again. I grant you, once you're saved, you're saved.
Amen.
The Bible says that you are sealed, as we already made mention, with that Holy Spirit of promise. Once you're saved, you're saved. The devil can't do anything about it. Can't anybody else do anything about it? If you're a child of the King. But if you can live in the world and the ways of the world and it not bother you, you better be checking to see if your name is written in that Lamb's Book of Life. Stand with me. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come. Lord, we thank you again.